Committee on Economic Stimulus and Public Policy will come to order, and good evening. We're going to clip through this as quickly as we can. I'm going to deviate from the agenda here to knock off some things that passed unanimously, or nearly so, through the Senate earlier today. What my intention would be is to put as much of this on a consent calendar as we can. If we would hold talking down to a minimum on this tonight, we can all get home quicker, and not anybody will object to that. So with that said, before I get to that, as we move through the Senate bills, you've seen these before. I think you know what these are all about, but I'm going to have Janet describe them briefly as we move through them. Be happy to take motions and get the thing going. All right, we'll open a work session on SB 1000. Janet?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 1000 delays the effective date of provisions of House Bill 3842 from the 2001 legislative session. That bill puts new obligations on property sellers to inform buyers that liens have been or may be placed on their homes and provide a list of potential lien filers. The bill would delay implementation of that bill that passed last session until after the 2003 legislative session so that the issue can be explored further. There's been a coalition of groups that Representative Merkley got together. This was Representative Merkley's bill. A group has gotten together and decided that it's not, the bill is not working as is, and would like some time to work out provisions that accomplish the same thing that with technical changes. The other thing that the bill does is transition so that the people who have already been affected by it can be taken care of. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
Representative Cruz.
I move Senate Bill 1000 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Cruz moves Senate Bill 1000 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Do we have any discussion? Any objection? Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Yes. Representative Cruz.
I move Senate Bill 1000 be added to the consent calendar.
Thank you. Representative Cruz so moves. Do we have any objection to that? Okay. It's been placed on the consent calendar. Thank you. Close the work session on Senate Bill 1000.
Mr. Chair, members, we put your Senate bills on the right-hand side of your spot tonight and the House bills on the left, and I think they're in bill number order. There should be a staff measure summary from the Senate and any fiscal or revenue impact information along with it.
Okay, thank you. We'll open a work session on Senate Bill 1002, and Janet, if you would describe that briefly.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 1002 was requested by the Treasurer's Office, and it creates a short-term borrowing account in the general fund consisting of funds borrowed from capital markets and specifies that the amount borrowed may not exceed the Treasurer's and the Department of Administrative Services estimate of cash flow deficit of the state. This was something needed for periodic cash shortfalls that are pretty common, but this is a different way of borrowing that saves the state money. State Treasurer's office submitted the bill. The Legislative Fiscal Office asked for a report, provisions to be added so that they would need to report on the use of these so-called tax anticipation notes. So that was a change that was added to the bill at the request of the Legislative Fiscal Officer.
Yeah, thank you. How was the vote in the Senate today on that?
This vote was 30-0.
30-0. Thank you. Representative Cruz.
I move Senate Bill 1002 to the House floor to do pass recommendation.
So moved by Representative Cruz. Moves the Senate Bill 1002 to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. Do we have any discussion?
Mr. Chair, just one note. I believe this, more than anything, kind of codifies current practice.
Yeah, thank you. Further discussion? Any objections? Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Adopted. Representative Cruz.
I move Senate Bill 1002 be placed on the consent calendar.
So moved by Representative Cruz. Do we have any objections to that? Seeing none, the bill will be placed on the consent calendar. Thank you. We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 1002. All right, we'll open a work session on Senate Bill 1003. And Janet, briefly?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 1003 does two things. It provides a legislative promise that a moral obligation is what the term is, but not a legal obligation to provide backup funding to repay lottery bonds in the event the lottery is declared illegal. This is in anticipation or to be able to have our current bonds kind of taken out from under the cloud of the proposed initiative that would eliminate some of the lottery funds. This has been discussed, again, with the state treasurer and the bond people, and it would be an important change. Also, it takes care of, again, something that passed last session, the channel deepening account. The amount of money was increased last session. It was not increased in two places, every place it needed to be in the statutes, and so this is a fix for that legislation from last session.
If you pay close attention to your staff measures summary, you'll see the various things that are included with that. Representative Cruz.
I move Senate Bill 1003 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Cruz moves Senate Bill 1003 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Do we have any discussion? Any objections?
Was there, excuse me, just a vote in the Senate?
A vote in the Senate was?
Mr. Chair and Representative Butler, 29-1. And, Chair, could I correct something I said? I think this is in, not in anticipation of an initiative, but in anticipation of a court ruling.
Thank you. All right, sounds good. All right, we've got the motion, and let me ask, do we have any objections? Noted one.
Thank you,
Representative Johnson. Is there a motion for consent calendar, or is it the feeling of the committee that we ought to be able to...
Mr. Chair, if we have a no vote, I'm...
Oh, that's right. I stand corrected. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. We'll close the work session on 1003.
Carry on 1003.
Well, we need a carrier on 1003. Do we have a volunteer to be a carrier on 1003? Anyone?
I would be happy to carry it.
Representative Rosenbaum will be the carrier. Thank you very much. Okay, we will open a work session on Senate Bill 1004. And Jen?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senate Bill 1004 would, if a public employer is grouped for the purposes of calculating their per employer rate, and the employer makes a lump sum payment for the purpose of reducing their unfunded actuarial liability. And it requires that the benefit arising from the lump sum payment accrue only to the individual employer. It specifies that PERS must allow lump sum payment even if it does not meet minimum thresholds when the local government pays for the total amount of unfunded liability. This is a result of Senate Bill 134 from last session that made a number of changes to the system. One component intended to allow school districts to issue limited revenue bonds under intergovernmental agreements. But under a current Attorney General opinion, PERS must determine a single contribution rate for all school districts based on current employment. Senate Bill 1004 will allow the benefit of making a lump sum payment to reduce liability, actuarial liability, according to the school district.
Okay, for the individual rather than deferring it for the whole. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Cruz.
I move Senate Bill 1004 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Cruz moves Senate Bill 1004 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Do we have any discussion on that? Representative March.
I just want to make a comment, Mr. Chair. You were co-chairing the joint committee, and when we heard that this does not require any school district to participate, and it's all totally voluntary, and everybody was happy with it at the hearing. So.
Right. Thank you. Thank you. Representative Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have a concern as to why the PERS and what testimony may have been offered, why the PERS is looking at other funds, 137,000, 1.25 FTE in the current fiscal year, and then a small reduction in the next fiscal period by any. I guess my concern is this is actually a simplification. And if anything, that should be a reduction in this overall program. I wondered if what testimony was offered on that behalf.
I'm not sure that I recall testimony along that line.
I don't recall it either, but I there was some discussion about of school districts taking advantage of this. This could create a greater workload in the short term, and that's why the declining in the long term would be my guess. But that was not testimony offered.
No, it wasn't. Mr. Chair, the unfunded liability portion of it, once that's funded, then they're taken out of the pool, and then there's substantially less work, and we've already geared up to put them in the pool, and now we're going to take them out of the pool. I would think that there'd be a net reduction of employees. I don't know whether or not the bill itself provides for the actual additional FTE, but I would hope that they would have to come back to an emergency board and ask for that, even though it is other funds.
Thank you. I appreciate you putting that on the record. Representative Johnson.
Thank you. Having not heard it, had the benefit of the testimony, I was just wondering, and I think Representative March may have touched on this by saying that if this is a voluntary program and does not require school districts to participate, but if there was any testimony from small districts versus large districts saying that there was a benefit that would inure in pooling, I'm just trying to get a sense of any distinction between the benefit available to the large versus the small districts.
Mm-hmm. We had no testimony really relating to that minimum.
Mr. Chair, I think that would just be based upon their ability to go to the well and bond for it. And some of those agencies, a large school district in the Portland area or the city near Portland or other districts like that, would be going to the well fairly frequently, whereas a small district in Douglas County might not go once in 10 years, and therefore would have no reason to be going to go ahead and fund that with a low-interest bond. So there might be some differences, but it's just based upon the capacity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you.
I see, Mr. Chair,
yes.
At the bottom of the Legislative Fiscal Office explanation, it says the change will cause additional workload to maintain the separate accounts for employers that choose to pay the lump sum to reduce their unfunded liability. And so that, I think, is the discussion there.
And my response to that, after having heard the PERS last session and this session, is everyone's already got separate accounts already. And there are no new separate accounts. It's just the calculation is stuck back into the computer. So I am concerned about that issue of them continuing to add staff. But that would be no reason not to vote against it, okay, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you. All right. I do believe we have a motion.
Yes.
All right. And
the Senate vote was.
Yes, Senate vote was on that, Janet. Yeah.
Mr. Chair was also 30 to 0.
Okay. Pardon me, Janet. I couldn't hear you.
Also 30 to 0.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. We have a motion by Representative Cruz. We've had discussion. Do we have any objections? Okay. Seeing none. Grace, Representative Cruz.
I move Senate Bill 1004 be placed on the consent calendar.
Thank you. Representative Cruz moves Senate Bill 1004 be placed on the consent calendar. Any objections? Okay. Thank you. It shall be. We'll close the work session on Senate Bill 1004.
You're really a good call.
Yeah, thanks. Appreciate the help. I'm going to open a work session on HJR 70. And Representative Bates, would you talk about the Dash 1 amendments to that?
Yes, so Mr. Chair. We realized today that there is a possible loophole in the referral that we've set up. The spirit of the referral was 12 years any way you want it, and then you had to chop out for at least a minimum of 4 years. However, the way it was written, you could potentially serve your 12 years and then be appointed for up to 4 more years as a senator, 2 more years as a representative, and get around the 12-year ban. That was not the purpose of our referral. This new language is a subtle change. It closes that loophole. It also causes any time served, if you are appointed, to be part of your 12-year service. Remember, the clock starts ticking again when this, if this in fact is passed by the voters. So, now what it means is you've got 12 years. If you're appointed to it, it counts for that 12 years as a full term. And at the end of your 12 years, if you've been elected for all those terms, you can't then go out and get appointed for another 4-year term or a 2-year term. It just locks it down. And we were criticized for that, and we hadn't realized that it was that what we'd done in the first language. We want to make it very clear. The essence of this is 12 years, any way you want it. We don't want people getting around that in the future. We just hadn't thought of that eventuality.
Hey, thank you. Good question. Discussion. Yes.
Our question of Representative Bates. And I agree that the only problem I've had with that potentially is the fact that, for example, in the Senate, you could be appointed in the last year of a 4-year term, and it counts as 4 years. But that will be the case with this.
That would absolutely now be the case. Mm-hmm. And that's the person accepting that appointment has to understand that.
Okay.
Or it might happen just after a session, and that would still count. That we had no other way to get around that without it being abused at the other side. So this makes it very clear. It's 12 years, and that is all.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Cruz.
I move the -1 amendment, H.J.R. 70.
Thank you. Representative Cruz moves the -1 amendments to H.J.R. 70. Do we have any discussion? Do we have any objections?
Okay. Mr. Chair.
Representative Cruz.
I move H.J.R. 70 as amended to the floor for due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Cruz moves H.J.R. 70 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Do we have any discussion? Representative Rosenbaum.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I certainly appreciate all the hard work that has gone into this issue, and I appreciate and respect my good friend from Southern Oregon. However, much as I respect him, I find myself unable to support this. I would say that the tide has turned on term limits. I believe the public agrees with that. I think there's a lot of evidence. And in other states, too, including the state of Idaho, which recently abolished their term limits law. And I think that, in good conscience, those that don't believe that term limits are good for this institution need to say that and not to be offering false choices to voters. And so I think we've gotten into political gamesmanship on this issue. It's not a road that I care to go down, and I will be voting no.
Thank you. Representative Cruz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I've never been a supporter of term limits, and I never will be a supporter of term limits. And I've never been wishy-washy on the subject, and never will be. However, gamesmanship is going on here. Clearly and certainly gamesmanship is going on here. We have, a reasonable certainty that there will be an initiative drive to put the term limits, some term limits sort of legislation on the ballot in November. I hope you're right and that the tide has turned and people see it for the folly that it is, but I'm not sure that we have certainty in that. And therefore, I'm supporting this measure because rather than assume that the people no longer like term limits, let's let them vote on it. And if indeed what they say is that they think term limits is still a good idea, I think it's preferable that we have an option on the table that is viable and workable. And does the best job of serving this body as is possible within constraints. And this does that. The 12-year cap with flexibility is an option I've supported from day one. It's the musical chairs that are created by any sort of segmentation underneath that, which is what will probably be put back on the ballot if we don't do this. That has basically turned the House of Representatives into a farm club for the Senate. And, you know, and it makes no sense. I mean, it makes no sense that I can serve 3 terms here, but then I'm no longer qualified for some reason to serve here, but I can go to the Senate. It makes no sense. You know, so the spirit of what was passed by the people was a 12-year cap on service. They didn't want this to become a career. I think there's a lack of understanding in what this really is, because God knows this isn't a career, at least not one you can make any money at.
We always have farming.
So I think it's fully within the spirit of what I think intent was. It's fully, I think, reasonable for us to ask the people of Oregon what they think of the issue, and I think this is the appropriate way to do it.
Thank you. Further discussion. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Chairman. Same song, second verse, and going to vote no.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Representative Bates.
I just can't control myself. I have to respond. I'm sorry. Mr. Chair, and again, I respect you as you respect me. I would like to point out a couple of things, though. In the Dash 1 amendments especially, I want to make it clear this was not gamemanship. This was to make it clear and to make it as clear as possible to voters what they're voting for. And there was some ambiguity which we had not intended to be in there. We wanted to make it clear it truly was a 12-year limit. We didn't want to be criticized for saying come at it a different way and get away with 16 or 14. So it really was an honest effort to make this clear. The other point I'd like to make is Idaho did overturn term limits, but it did it in a statutory way, and they are going to be facing a ballot measure in the next 2 years. The U.S. term limits has told them they're coming in with a ballot measure now as an initiative to try to reimpose term limits. So that was a decision by the legislature, not the people at state.
Mm-hmm.
Nebraska just went through six years of initiatives. Every 2 years, two of them being thrown out by the courts. The last one passed. It's constitutional. That was in the year 2000. I'm not certain the time has come and gone for term limits in this country and that people still don't have a feeling that term limits is the way they want to go. I'd point out also that U.S. term limits spent a lot of money in that state to get it done. A state of about our size has a lot of common things to us, to large cities, to and the rest of the state being very rural. And they put in 8 years, and they got it in, despite opposition. So I don't know which way this has gone in this country so far. And I think we have to keep that in our minds when we make our decisions. I know you disagree, and I appreciate that. That's a fun part of this process. And I think it's wise to do this. But not only that, more importantly, I'm going back to my major topic, the people of the state of Oregon need to have an opportunity to make up their minds at this point and vote on whether they want term limits in their legislature, and we want to give them a reasonable choice to make. And that's what this is all about, as far as I'm concerned. And I'll leave it there for now.
Thank you, Representative Bates. I appreciate that. Further discussion, Representative Mike.
Well, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair. I had hoped not to say anything, but I still am opposed to term limits. I do believe that the body should have the opportunity to discuss this on the floor and vote it out on the floor, so I'll be giving you an aye in committee.
Okay, thank you. Appreciate it. Anyone else? Okay, let's go to the roll call. Linda, if you call the roll, please.
Representative Gates?
A not surprising aye.
Representative Butler?
Aye.
Representative
Hagan?
Representative Johnson?
Aye.
Representative
Cruz?
Enthusiastic
aye. Representative
Martin?
That counts as
aye.
You know.
Representative Rosenbaum?
No.
Representative Smith?
An enthusiastic no.
Just without my second vote.
Votes aye. And motion carries. Representative Bates, would you like to be the carrier?
Yeah.
I think that it's probably that we would like to have 2 carriers in this. Representative Trump and I would like to cut this together. If that would be your pleasure, sir.
Good. We'll do it. All right. Very good. We'll designate that, and we'll close the work session on H.J.R. 70.
He's better looking and speaks better.
No. Not going to work.
Will they be wearing costumes?
Yeah. Talk about leathers, I think.
He doesn't do that anymore.
He doesn't do it any less.
Okay, I'm going to stand on committee for just a moment.